as I was reading scripture and trying to figure out what I was going to talk about today, as I was sitting in Iowa, I was like, I came across that what I'm going to preach on today, John 6, where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And along with that, there are a total of seven statements, so six other than this one, where Jesus says, "I am something," fill in the blank. So this is going to be the next 7 weeks. I talked Pastor Tasha into it. She was more than willing. She's on board. But for the next, so today and 6 weeks from now, we're going to go over Jesus's I am statements. What Jesus says he is through the book of John. I'm not going to go through them right now for you. So just stay tuned every week. You're going to learn something more about what Jesus says that he is. So this morning, so it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I love it when we do a sermon series and things, and we can build on that and learn about Jesus and who he says that he is and how it's going to be great. You ready for it? You excited? I am. Yes. All right. So buckle up, people. We're going to have fun. So today I get the honor of speaking about Jesus, as you can see here, as he states in John 6 that he is the bread of life. And I just want to set the stage up with this scripture to kind of let you know what's going on before this. I love to read scripture and like see what's going on and what Jesus has just done or what Jesus is doing when he says these things. And you guys remember a couple weeks ago I preached on Jesus feeding 5,000 plus people? Okay, good. I'm glad that you remember that. Sometimes I don't remember what happened yesterday, but 2 weeks ago I preached on Jesus feeding the, what I'm calling the at least 5,000, because we know there was more than 5,000 people there, right? So at the beginning, John, I read out of Mark, but John writes about that in John 6, at the very beginning of John 6. We see that miracle of Jesus feeding the at least 5,000. After that, just shortly after that, Jesus walks on water to catch up with his disciples, which is totally awesome. Another miracle happens. The disciples are taking a boat over to Capernaum, and Jesus is like, "I'll walk," and walks across the water to catch up to his disciples, right? So there's two things that happen in this chapter, chapter 6, before we pick up the story, what we're going to talk about today, okay? A couple of amazing things. Jesus is feeding people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and then he's catching up with his disciples, just taking a stroll across water. You know, just a normal day for Jesus. That's what he does. So this is where we pick up the story, okay? But I want to ask you a question before we get into it, before we get into all the scripture here is, have you ever been full, like so over full after eating? I'm talking about food. Think about the people, the 5,000, okay, yeah. I mean, the point where you ate so much you thought you literally were going to pop. The pants are getting unbuttoned, right? Or you just put your sweatpants on and say, this is how it's going to be today. I'm thinking Thanksgiving, Christmas, you kind of catch on vacation. Sometimes, you know, vacation, we're like, yeah, whatever, we'll eat whatever. When I would go home to visit family, when I first moved down to Florida, when I would go, there was a special place that my grandma always wanted to take us, and it was called Gray's Restaurant. It was in Indianapolis. And we would pile up in the car, usually brother, sister, mom, dad, maybe one of grandma's sisters would meet us there. But anyway, we'd all go to this restaurant, and it was a cafeteria-style restaurant with good home cooking, comfort country food. You guys feeling what, are you picturing it? So what would happen, since it was a cafeteria-style restaurant, you would start at one end, and you would get your little tray, like at a cafeteria at the school, and you would go down the line, and you would choose all the things that you wanted to eat. Fried chicken, roast beef, catfish, if you were into that kind of thing. Always fried, by the way, always fried. Mashed potatoes, noodles, green beans with just as much bacon as the bean. And you would just go down, and my mouth is watering, man, those mashed potatoes with the noodles are so awesome. Anyway, we would go down the line and we would fill up your plate. So you have a plate, you're telling them what you want, they're putting it on there. And sometimes you don't have room for everything you want, so they would put in little bitty saucers, like, oh, you want that too? Okay, well, you don't have enough room, so they'd put it on the, and you go down to the end with this tray of food just everywhere. And you think you're done making your selections, but you're not, because there's homemade pie at the end. Oh my goodness, the cherry pie was something else. Strawberry pie with big strawberries, pecan, lemon, coconut cream. Oh my, right? Your mouth is watering. I know that it is. So you get to the end, you're like, well, I've got to have pie at the end. So you have this big plate of food and other things and your pie. You get to the end, grandma pays the bill. You make your way to your table and you indulge. I mean, you eat and eat and eat. And yeah, I mean, you definitely make room for your pie. Grandma bought your pie. You better eat your pie. You know, those were the times in my life that I was the fullest, even over Christmas and Thanksgiving by far. Carbohydrate city. I mean, it was awesome. And I remember always leaving there and I would say out loud, I'm never going to have to eat anything else ever again. I'm done. Like, I'm so full, I'm good for the rest of my life. I'm not going to need any more food. I'm full, over full, stuffed, falling asleep on the way home. That 90-minute drive home, I barely remember because I was asleep in a food coma. But guess what happened about 6 hours after I had that meal? I was hungry again. My parents were like, you've got to be kidding me. 6 to 8 hours, give or take, I'm hungry again, right? Your metabolism does its thing. One meal doesn't do it for the rest of your life. You have to eat again, right? I was hungry again. That huge meal that I had physically didn't last me forever. I got hungry and I needed another meal to sustain myself. Today, in the passage of scripture that we're going to read, Jesus talks about him being the bread of life, the meal, if you will. And the fact that if we partake in him, we don't need anything else again. See, physically we do, don't we? Like that big meal at Gray's. Oh. But spiritually speaking, when we go to Jesus, we're full and we're good. He is the bread of life. And we won't, he says it in his words, we're not going to hunger or thirst anymore when we have him. We have our fill when we partake of Jesus, and we're full and we hunger no more. So let's read scripture this morning. It's lengthy, but you got nowhere else to go and it's pouring down rain outside. We're also hungry now. All right. So we're at John 6, and I was all over the board on how much to do, but I'm going to do all of it. We're going to do 6, 25 to 51. There's some really great stuff in this passage of scripture. I'm not going to touch on all the stuff, okay? I'm going to give you a couple points to think about during the week that I think are pretty important, some things that God was talking to me about this week that I'll pass along to you. But please read this again. Dive into it more. Do some research on your own. There's some other really good things in here. But without further ado, let's at least get into it. Let's read about Jesus saying that he is, I am the bread of life. So 6:25 is where we're going to start. When they found him on the other side of the lake, so that's the people that just had this big miracle were trying to find Jesus, and then they finally found him on the other side of the lake, caught up with his disciples because he caught their boat walking on the water. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. When they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? I mean, they just got fed with with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but they're still wanting a miraculous sign. Jesus gets into that in a minute too, but I still am like, I roll my eyes sometimes when I read scripture at these people. What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Yeah, that's the one I want. Give us that. Then Jesus declared what we're talking about this morning. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I love that part. If you want to, that's one of those underlying verses. God loves us. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him, because that's what they always do, because Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They weren't getting it. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say that I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has sent the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. And then Jesus doubles down on this bread of life thing. I am the bread of life, he says again. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But there is a bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Awesome scripture that John wrote here, and Jesus explaining and going into detail about some things and answering questions from people, stating that he is the bread of life. So I have a couple questions this morning. Instead of points, I had a couple questions, and I'll talk about these questions because I can see some things when you read this scripture that you're like, wait, what? And it really, during this week as I was preparing for this, these are the questions that came out in the forefront of things that we can learn or think about, really ponder this week. The first question, and you get this from the people at the very beginning of the story, is what motivates you to look for Jesus? What motivates you to search Jesus out? What motivates you to chase Jesus across the lake to Capernaum? Now, let me get into that a little bit. So you see the people here at the beginning of this, of the story that I read, and they're like, I liken it to the paparazzi. Like, they're like going after Jesus. They're chasing Jesus everywhere. You got to imagine, and it's hard for us, I think, but Jesus is like walking around, and there are people around, like thousands of people around him at all times trying to get to him and talk to him and understand him. And most of the time, they're wanting a miracle, aren't they? They're wanting a physical miracle. They want the miracle that they saw yesterday with the food. They want the physical miracle. They want the physical food that they got the previous day. And we pick up the story. We see Jesus calling them out for not really understanding what he provides on a deeper level. Their motivation is very surfaced. Their bellies are full, but their hearts are completely empty, and they're not getting it. They're spiritually depleted, spiritually starved, if you will. When they asked Jesus how he got to the other side of the lake, Jesus, as usual, skips over that. He doesn't even answer that question, does he? No, he just moves on. He's like, I ain't got time to explain how I walked on water across here. I got to get to the heart of what's going on here. He skips the pleasantries, and he jumps right into their motivation. He basically says, look, you're looking for me because I filled your belly yesterday, and you're missing the bigger point and the bigger picture here. You miss the point that I'm of what I'm showing you, because your eyes are in your stomach and you're more preoccupied with getting whatever you think that you need. You're chasing me around for miracles in the physical, but I got bigger plans for you. All of his miracles, we talk about this in Bible study in our small groups a lot. All of his miracles weren't about the physical. It was about the spiritual and the deeper meaning, right? I think we're all on board with that. And that's what he's trying to say here. You're coming at me and your motivation is for the physical food. I got news for you. I got something better. And I guess to give them a little bit of grace and mercy, it makes sense what the people were trying to do, right? I mean, it makes sense. They're hungry. They wanted some food. They got food yesterday. Okay, if I have a really good meal like Gray's Restaurant, I'm going to go back, right? So they're going back. They're only doing human things. But sometimes I think if we could, when we think about this point in my sermon today, that we can approach our relationship with God like this. We seek him through our quick prayers for whatever we think we need in the moment right then and there. A decision we need to make. We might need some wisdom for something. We lack a resource. We may struggle with this or that. And we want God, Jesus, to just immediately fulfill that right then and there. But we keep missing the point. If we have a relationship with Jesus like that, we keep missing the point that he offers so much more spiritually for us and abundance for us. Now, I am not saying Jesus will not answer our prayers for those needs, because he meets our needs and our prayers in that. But he wants, like he fed the 5,000 people, right? But he wants us to be motivated to come to him on a deeper level. Our motivation to seek Jesus is sometimes just to get that one large meal, and then we're hungry again. Jesus wants us to come to him and be full all the time, abundant. So he's going to sustain us at all times. And I think that's the hard work. That's the work that we all can probably be better at, right? Partaking in the deeper meaning and the constant nourishment that we get from Jesus so we are never hungry again. He says, I am the bread of life. Through him, you get so much more than just the prayers that you think you need here on the physical. You get deeper. You have a relationship with Jesus who loves you, who died for you, and you're never going to go hungry or thirst again because of your belief and trust in him. So my question during this point is, what motivates you, to remind you, what motivates you in your relationship with Jesus? Why do you go seek him out? He wants our motives to be pure, coming to him for bread that we need to be spiritually full. And when we're spiritually full, the stuff that Jesus gives us is so much deeper and better and sustaining than the little things that we think that we need within this world. He gives us stuff like peace, forgiveness, grace, mercy, hope, acceptance, unconditional love. So my prayer today is that we are motivated on a deeper level to seek out Jesus. And we can be full. We can see the fullness that he can provide for us, spiritually speaking. The other question that came to mind when I was reading this and pondering this is, what are you hungry for and how do you satisfy that hunger? So we live in a world where we've got a lot of things that we think we want and need, right? So many things that we're eager for, hungry for, and there's a lot of worldly ways that we can try to fill that fill the hunger that we have. Maybe we, want to be successful in our job. Money will fix our problem. Maybe addictions. Maybe it's relationships or people. Whatever it is, there's a lot of different things, if you're hungry for something, that we could look for in this world. But I'm telling you, if we look for it in the world, the answers for the things that we're hungry for, we are not going to be full. We are going to be full momentarily, like my dinner at Gray's, and then we're going to be hungry again later. The world only offers us temporary stuff. Jesus offers us permanent sustenance with him being the bread of life. In verse 28, the people asked a question. If I can see it again. They asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? And then in verse 29, Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. In other words, Jesus is saying, hey, people, the only thing you need to do is believe in me to be able to fulfill all your needs. I got everything that you need. The only work you have to do is believe and have faith and trust in me. I got you. All you hunger for in this world can be found me. I'm the bread of life. So I don't know in your life what you're hungry for, but I know who can fill you up, and that's Jesus. Maybe you need happiness, identity, purpose, love. This is a really important time where we can be honest with ourselves and say, okay, what am I hungry for? What am I looking for in my life? Where am I empty? I know the person then who can fill it up. Some soul searching will help you in this area. But ask that question. What am I hungry for? And how am I satisfying that hunger? Am I satisfying it with Jesus or something else? Uh-oh. Let me work on that, God. Help me work on that. Jesus will fill you up and you'll never be hungry again. So the questions I have for you. What motivates you towards Jesus? Is your motivation on a deeper level or just a superficial level of asking Jesus for things when you need it? Like a genie in a bottle. Just think about your prayer life. When you pray, what is it? What does it look like? Is it just a bunch of things that you need? Or is it other things? Is there a way that you can get deeper in your communication with Jesus? Do you really truly understand the deep satisfaction you can have in your relationship with Jesus? And are you living in that? Are you hungry for things in this world and getting your satisfaction for that hunger in Jesus or other things that could be not so good for you? Are you busy taking meals, spiritual meals, I suppose, or meals of the world, only to be hungry again 4 to 6 hours later? Your life can be changed today if you really think about those questions, really do some self-assessment and prayer, talk to God about those things. And you can really have your life changed if you submit and go to Jesus, the bread of life. You can hunger and thirst no more through him. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for this scripture, this story, this lesson. God, it's just so important for us to always remember that you are there for us in so many ways than we can imagine. You want us to be in a deeper relationship with you, God. We're so grateful that you are the bread of life, and help us to be people that turn to you when we hunger and thirst for things of this world, God. God, just continue to grow us in our relationship with you so we can live in the fullness of the things that you give us. We can be full on your love, peace, hope, rest, acceptance, whatever it is that we need in our life, God. And I just pray for each and every one that we can really assess those things in our lives that we need to grow closer and deeper in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.